Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, will be joining me in about 30 minutes. And we have a number of things that I want to cover this morning. There's a lot of information and a lot of different stories out there today that are making news. But I want to stay focused on the word in a particular direction this morning. But before we go any further, for those of you that are tuned into the broadcast right now, let me get my Monday morning voice back here. Those of you tuned in, I would ask you to agree with me in prayer, for a couple of friends of one of our listeners. Gee, I thought I had that all worked out with the voice issue. But anyways, I want us to pray for Wayne and Latrenda. This is a couple, and Wayne is flying to Atlanta to a Cancer Institute of America for a second opinion, and Latrenda is praying for a clean bill of health, no leukemia or anything else. She is supposed to find out her results today. So we're dealing again with leukemia, dealing with cancer. There are people in flight going to different centers, and particularly today, Wayne and Latrenda. And so let's offer a prayer to God, and maybe along with Wayne and Latrenda, maybe you are being afflicted in your body. There are a lot of afflictions that are still out there, and so we still require the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love your power to heal. And we know that you sent your word and healed our disease. And this is all who have faith and press into the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, so that there's no legal right of the adversary to have any place in our lives, spirit, soul, or body. So, Lord, we confess to you right now our need. And we confess to you right now that we're looking to you, the great physician, for the healing of our bodies, the healing of our souls, and the healing of our spirit. And we want to lift up Wayne and Latrenda to you, Heavenly Father, as we have access by one Spirit to the Father. And now we are accessing according to the Word of God, not our own opinions, but we are accessing the throne of grace. And you said we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And we love that humility, Lord, that you grant unto us to give us the confidence to come and ask of you. And Lord, though we are not yet perfected in the way that you would have us to be, but we are working it out, growing in that direction. We are leaning totally upon the authenticity, the authority, the power, the integrity of the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, is in Jesus' name that we are coming before you this morning, and we are asking you in agreement to supernaturally heal Wayne and Latrinda, captivate their hearts and their minds, and draw them completely to you. And through the experience that they are going through, grant unto them faith and confidence to believe that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that they or anybody else could ever ask or think. And the truth, Lord, get this truth to their hearts and everybody else's heart out there today that has been afflicted with sickness and disease. Get the truth out that by your stripes, we are healed. Wayne is healed. Latrinda is healed. Cancer has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Leukemia has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Diabetes has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our experiences have not yet lined up with your truth. And we may have the diagnosis and the affliction to prove to us that we are in this afflicted state, but your word said that we could ask in Jesus' name for anything and that you would do it. And Lord God, we know that you do not want a sick, afflicted church. You do not want your people to depend upon this world. We can use it. We can use the hospitals. We could use the doctors, but we are not looking to them as the final authority in our lives. We are leaning on the word of God. We are believing by the word of God, if we died today, we would go to heaven. So why wouldn't we believe every other part of that word of God? We believe today that our past sins are forgiven. So why wouldn't we believe everything else the word of God says? And your word declares in a new covenant, a covenant in the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, that we are healed. We are delivered. We are sanctified. We are washed. We are justified. And Lord, we thank you right now that you would open up our spiritual eyes and understanding, that the spirit of faith would rise up within us, that our eyes of faith would see what the word of God says, rather than what looks about now. You said in your word that the things that we can see with our natural eyes are temporary, but the things that we see with the eyes of faith are eternal. The things that we can see that are not visible to the natural eye. And this is your promise. And every promise is yes and amen in you. And so we're standing with Wayne and Latrinda. And we're standing with every other person that has been afflicted with any kind of disease, any kind of sickness, any kind of infirmity. We bind and rebuke the spirit of infirmity right now. We command all demonic spirits of sickness and illness to be cast out in the name of Jesus. Cast out of the body. Cast out of the soul. Cast out in the name of Jesus Christ. We renounce the affliction right now. We put it under the blood of Jesus. 39 stripes upon the back of our Lord. 39 categories of sin. 39 stripes. 39 stripes. The shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ for the healing of the nations. And Lord, I thank you that faith will come alive right now for every single person that believes they're going to heaven because of their faith in Jesus Christ. May they have the same faith to believe that they are healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Jesus Christ is the great physician. We have come to him with a sickness, with a request for healing, and he is giving us the antidote. Make sure that all of us have no unforgiveness in our heart, no willful sin. Now, somebody may argue out there that, well, not every sickness is related to sin, but let me tell you this, the predominant reality is a lot of times sickness is related to sin, and if there is willful sin in our lives, in other words, we're doing what we know we shouldn't be doing, that is an access point for all these afflictions, for poverty, for the devil to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He could rob your finances, he could rob your health, especially if you're robbing God in your tithes and offerings. There's one I'll throw out there. God says you're robbing me with your tithes and offerings by holding back, by not giving. So that gives the devil, the devourer, the opportunity to come and steal, kill, and destroy. So continue to be faithful in your giving. Be faithful to God with your tithes. Be faithful to God with your offerings. And that's just a minor thing. But what about watching rated R movies? What about filling your temple with the things of this world? What about listening to old rock and roll music? I mean, all of these things may be soothing to the soul, but they may not be edifying to the spiritual development of our lives. Okay, so we're not trying to be, holier than thou, or, you know, walk in a, squeaky, tight, clean place. But we do need to be rigidly righteous when it comes to the prosperity of our lives. I mean, if we want God's prosperity, we need to understand that God is set apart. He is holy, and that we are to be set apart and holy with the Lord. And God's not sitting around watching all the garbage, listening to all the garbage that the world and the devil is spewing out of the belly of the beast in Hollywood. Okay? And I'm going to leave that right there. So we're asking in Jesus' name for the healing of God's people. Okay? We're healing for Wayne, Latrinda. Repent of all sin, confess all sin, and if you admit that there's sin in your life, put it down. You're smoking cigarettes, you better put them away. You know, you better stop being dependent. If you're dependent upon your meds, you got to stop being dependent on them. Use them, but stop being dependent on them and start looking to the true source of your healing and your life and your liberty and your freedom and your joy and your peace and all the good things that God has for you, okay? So, I mean, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. God's going to meet us where we are, but let's move towards him today. Let's clap our hands and shout to the Lord and say hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and took away your sin and my sin and has rebuked sickness and disease. He's the healer. And anybody out there today that's wondering, gee, I wonder if the Lord would heal me. Remember the leper in the book of Matthew. When the leper heard Jesus preach his great Sermon on the Mount, afterwards came to him and said, Lord, if thou art willing, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I am willing, put forth his hand, touched him, and immediately the leprosy was gone. Jesus answered the question for all time. Lord, if you are willing, I know that you can make me whole. Jesus said, I am willing. Jesus is willing to heal you today. Jesus is willing to heal me today. I'm going to ask God to forgive me for all of my sins, the ones I know, the ones I don't know. And I better not at this point have a whole list of willful sin. In fact, there should be no willful sin being practiced in our lives at this point. Would you agree with that? I mean, if there's a willful sin, if you know you're doing something that you should not be doing, well, that is a serious issue at this point. We just kind of, you know, imagine after all these years that everybody's at least got that. I mean, if the Word of God, for example, says, don't hold any unforgiveness in your heart because that's a sin. You will not be forgiven. I mean, God forbid if we're willfully holding unforgiveness towards anybody. I mean, there is no excuse for that, right? Let's say that the Word of God says, don't destroy your temple or God will destroy you. Well, how would you destroy your temple? Well, by filling it with idolatry, if you're having diabetes, to pound sugar, if you're smoking cancer sticks and putting all that stuff, if you're smoking marijuana, saying, well, the mantra of the world is it's healthy for you. No, it's not. It burns your brain cells, for goodness sake. Stuff is nonsense. And so if there's anything you're doing, you're sitting down watching rated R movies with sex, bloodshed, swearing, cursing. Remember, what goes in is going to come out. And if you're filling your heart and your mind with all that crud, that's what's going to come out. It's what you're putting into you. That's a sin. You've got to be convicted by the Holy Spirit to draw some lines about what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I've heard people for years telling me how it's okay to, you know, curse. It's okay to, you know, watch these things. And, you know, they were more mature. But you know what? They seem to fade away. And these are times that we need to be cautious about what we're doing. We should not just be kind of flimsy. Now, I'm not advocating a lifestyle where you look like you've been, you know, baptized in lemon juice and you were weaned on a pickle. I mean, any baby weaned on a pickle and somebody baptized in lemon juice, that's got that look to it, that sour look. No, I'm not promoting that. I know the sweetness of God, the beauty of the Lord, the goodness of God. He has enlarged my steps beneath me. I have a large swath to live an abundant life. I get that. But let's not live one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Let's not be lukewarm. Let's not be partially cold and partially hot. Let's be hot or cold. And let's get hot right now for Jesus. And if you're doing something you know is wrong, you've been wrestling with it, and you've been wanting to get rid of it, maybe you're stuck in pornography. You know, that comes up a lot. Why? Because our society is saturated with sexual images everywhere, and now we live in a society where you can push one button and have access to a world and a plethora of those images. And the reality is they're so satanically inspired that once you open the door to those things, spirit comes into your life. And now it takes a lot of work to get delivered from that stuff. But let's say that's a reality in your life and you need to get set free. You can't seem to break away. That's where you need deliverance. You need somebody that is anointed by God, which should be every true believer in Jesus Christ that has been set free, to go in and start working with you to deliver you. If you're having psychotic, weird thoughts in your head, if you have like slipped gears in your mind and your mind just goes and you can't seem to control it, it just slips into all these different imaginations and fantasies, you need deliverance. Those are spirits running rampant in your soul realm. So you need to bring these things under control. You need to get deliverance. You need to get set free. And then I guarantee when willful sin, things that you know are wrong that you're still doing, when you cut that off, a lot of this sickness and disease stuff is going to go with it. I guarantee you that. So ask yourself, is there anything I'm doing? Is it a personality problem? Do you have anger in your heart? Do you have pride in your heart? Do you have jealousy, fear? Are you walking in offense? You know, these things are so elementary. We would think by now that we wouldn't have this conversation. But guess what? We need to have this conversation again, because the body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, has been just, you know, plowed down in so many ways. And it's kind of like getting hit by Muhammad Ali and getting knocked out and waking up and going, where am I? And the enemy has been fierce because he's had an opportunity, because many people are sinning. There's a lot of talk today about the glory of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the kingdom of God. And yet people are ignoring their own character before God. And how many of you would agree today that the most important thing in our lives is God's character being established in us? That's all. I mean, that's all. That's all we need to say for the moment. We probably need to say a lot more. We probably will. But we are standing in agreement in the name of Jesus for the healing of Wayne and Latrinda and for everybody else today that needs that healing. Here's the grace. Here's the mercy. Regardless of your condition, if you will call on the name of the Lord, if you will ask God to heal you, if you'll ask him to forgive you, if you just say, Lord, is there something in my life that has opened a door? Remember the disciples, when the blind man was found by Jesus, they said, well, who did sin, his parents or himself? See, they had this understanding that sin was, or sickness was related to sin. You know, the leper, somebody sinned. That leper, you know, he's afflicted by God because of sin. Now, that's not all the time, some people say, but I would venture to say that probably 90% of the time, people's sickness has some connection to either a generational bloodline curse or a generational sin that's been in their lives from their mother, father, mother's father, father, et cetera, the third and fourth generation. or that they have done something themselves. So generational bloodline curses are very real. That's why Patricia deals with them in her book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And if you're having demonic problems or sin issues, why haven't you called and gotten a book yet? You could go on our ministry page, nwmglobal.org, and actually download a copy of Patricia's book for 99 cents. Did you know that? For 99 cents, you could download a plethora of wisdom and understanding for your life to get you moving in the right direction. Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You could download it for 99 cents. And oftentimes we just give the books away. If you need a book, we'll get you a book. Let us know. Contact us. We're available to anybody that would need that kind of help. So, well, there you have it. Praise God. That's how we're starting Monday morning. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So now what I want to do, I want to read something to you. And we're asking all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Everything in Jesus' name. Glory to God. He's so good to us. So on this Monday morning, I want to read out of Genesis chapter 18, and I want to start in verse 20, all right? So can you go with me for a few minutes? I want to read two causes. I want to ask you a question. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and by the way, if you have not been listening to the Omega Radio Network, you're missing some amazing stuff. I listened to a guy from about 5 o'clock this morning who spent over nearly 2 hours in his exegesis and all of his end time eschatological views and going. This guy was so learned. I was just going, wow, Lord, thank you for leading us and guiding me to find these things and put them on the Omega Radio Network. What an education people will get if they just tune in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, any time of the day, to listen to the information, the revelation, the inspired word of God, the preparatory word of God. It's all there. And of course, you have lots of other sources, predominantly your own Bible, right? And I hope you're spending time there. So let's get into the word for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Would thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be found 40. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet, but this once peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place. Now, here is the passage of Scripture that most people today are leaning on for the reason why San Francisco and Tel Aviv and all the Sodom and Gomorrah type cities of the nations of the earth are not destroyed, because there are righteous people living in them. And they constantly refer back to the conversation between Father Abraham and God. And I understand that. I mean, that is huge wisdom, right? I mean, that's glorious when you really stop and think about it, that God would be so concerned with the righteous within that generation of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet, when we read in the New Covenant the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we go back and we say, all right, anybody that follows their example or pattern will suffer the same judgment. That's in Peter and that's in Jude. We know that. All right, does that mean that there's only one pattern of God in these issues? Well, here's where I would ask everybody to pay a little bit more attention and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 14. You say that's Old Testament? Well, so is Genesis, right? That was even before there was an Old Testament. So we're looking in the Torah, and I want to read, and I just want to read right from the very beginning to get somewhat of an understanding. Ezekiel 14, verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, said Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto me, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, turn yourselves from your idols, turn away your faces from all your abominations. For everyone of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourns in Israel, which separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be as the punishment of him that seeks unto him, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. Now, obviously, the prophet there that's going to die is the prophet that told the man that was filled with idols that he was okay. All right. That's always the truth about false prophecy. But let's look at verse 12 now. Here we go. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sword judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Okay, what is that all about? Well, we talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham's intercession, because his nephew Lot is there. He wants him out. He wants him preserved. God knows Abraham's heart. He knows the purpose of his intercession. And yet, in the book of Ezekiel, God is making it very clear to the prophet that when the land sins grievously, like America has sinned grievously against the Lord, I think everybody would agree, out of the belly of the beast in Hollywood goes forth the most putrid, filthy, diabolical things. In fact, you know that the story has just come abroad that Mr. Epstein, the man that owned Pedophile Island, that had an airplane company that flew the bigwigs like Bill and Hillary Clinton and so many others to the island to commit pedophile acts with little children, has just been arrested. This is Fox News. This is everywhere. Hundreds of counts of molestation. And if he starts talking, well, again, this is the brutal, putrid, corrupt, vile conduct of Hollywood, the upper echelon of politicians and actors and actresses, and bloodletting and blood sucking, and, you know, just abortion, bloodshed, criminal acts, violence. I mean, America has really grievously sinned against the Lord as a covenant nation. And so, is it the intercession of Abraham saying, oh Lord, if there are 10 people in the city of Las Vegas, if there are 10 people in the city of San Francisco, will you spare it? Or is God saying to the prophetic in this hour, even if there are a few righteous people, they're the only ones that are going to survive by their righteousness. In other words, they are going to be delivered, the righteous, but I'm going to destroy the city. So a lot of people in their imagination say, well, because there's righteous people in these sinful places, God's not going to destroy the city. Folks, that's not what Ezekiel said. And so what is it? Is it Genesis or is it Ezekiel? Is God going to bring the righteous man out like he did with Lot? Or is he going to just move away and say, leave it alone? There's 1,000 righteous people in San Francisco, 10,000 righteous in Las Vegas. And because of these righteous ones, I'm not going to do anything. Well, that's not going to hold up with Ezekiel's conversation with the Lord. But to help me with this conversation is my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier. Good morning, dear lady. How are you?
I am very well today. It is a beautiful day, and I hope it stays that way without rain.
And is it another day to get it right?
It's another day to get it right. Aren't we blessed? Every day is a blessing. And we have to look at it that way, because honestly and truthfully speaking, the more we consider our own self in the situation in which we're in, God is going to honor all these things that will give us life and more abundance.
I totally agree with that. And yesterday in our conversation at church, we had three different points we were making about the judgment, the sword of Damocles that is hanging over the nations, the word of judgment hanging over this nation by a horse's hair. And then, of course, the idea of when it falls, where will you be and what will you be doing? And we talked about Matthew 24 and all that conversation about the rapture. And then we got into the third point, the most important point, where Peter writes, when you see these things take place, what manner of person ought you to be in all holiness and godliness, be found of him in peace, and all of these very important aspects of our character being right with God.
And it lines up with the 10 virgins in which the time of the Lord is coming, and 5 of them have oil and 5 of them don't. And this is the unction. The oil is the unction of the Holy Spirit given to mankind. We talked about that before. And those who were willing to receive the Holy Spirit, not just say, well, it comes into my heart when I have receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Yes, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to do that, but we are talking about the authority and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to continue in, to become justified, then become sanctified, and then glorified. And it is the time in which sanctification should have been working on us as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, and the time of the glorification in which he said Christ in us, the hope of glory, is ready to come forth and explode within us if we would overcome those things that he has given us ability to do, because he says, I have already overcome. So what did he overcome? The world, the flesh, and the devil. I have brought this out many, many times, and I am saying it is time to walk in that overcoming example of righteousness.
Well, amen to that. One of our favorite passages of scripture are found in Romans chapter 6, and you have to go back and realize what the whole Sodom and Gomorrah issue, what it is it's the extravagant sins of a community of people that were living on the face of the earth, and their conduct was so horrible that God said, I'm going to judge it. And he has a right to do that. He is a God of judgment. He is a God of justice, which is good news for the righteous. It really is good news. But we also, in considering our own selves, which is Galatians chapter 6, very important that when somebody is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, you know, go and minister to one, but be very careful how you do it so you don't fall into the same temptation. In other words, don't be arrogant in your quote-unquote righteousness, right? But for every one of us, one of the most powerful center of the gospel messages by the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Here's Paul kind of bringing some conclusive thoughts. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Patricia, there are some very profound statements made right there by the Apostle Paul, because he's bringing up grace. And today there's a lot of teaching about grace. But Paul says here, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers, God forbid it. So grace is never intended to be a license to continue in sin. And then he says, well, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I wonder how many people have reckoned themselves, and how this actually comes about to reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin.
And that is the thing in which most have not gotten a hold of. And I blame, truthfully, the church. The church must minister this truth to individuals, not just by reading the word and saying, isn't that a good idea? But giving consideration of what does it mean to be dead to sin? How do we go about being dead to sin? How do we consider sin any longer in our life? The point intact is you don't consider it anymore. You truly have been given, again, that Holy Spirit unction to overcome every sin in your life, including generational bloodline curses that come in through familiar spirits. And let no one deny that is true. All you have to do is be a minister for a short period of time, and you'll see it in the congregation and maybe in yourself. And that's why I wrote the book, Deliverance, A Christian Bill of Rights.
Well, that's really good news to know that we could be totally set free. And I don't know why people would think any otherwise. Continuing in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, listen to these words. This is super important. Know ye not, don't you know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were you baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? You see, in verse 3, Paul's asking the question, do you know this? Do you know that when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So Paul is really putting this out there for you and I to understand that when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And then when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And then he says, we're to walk in newness of life. Now, you see, to me, this is really good news. And I want to ask everybody a question right now, because this conversation in Romans chapter 6 is so rich. I mean, it really is rich. It really what determines what is righteousness. You know, we can't just throw the word righteousness around. And, you know, John said he was righteous, doeth righteousness. And righteousness has to do with sin, or unrighteousness has to do with sin. And so Romans chapter 6 is really the map into the reality of righteousness. And I want to ask you a question when it comes to the sin conversation, the sin issue. Yesterday, we spent most of our day talking about the rapture, the pre-trib rapture, and we went step by step into all the different passages that people that believe in a pre-tribulational rapture speak about, and we showed easily by because of the Spirit of God how that was a false doctrine. The pre-tribulation rapture teaching is not a genuine doctrine of instruction. I mean, people could piece make it together. They could use symbology. They could use types and shadows, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to biblical instruction, that is not the case. There is no such thing as a pre-trib rapture. But if millions and millions and millions of people are believing that, my question is, what else are people believing? You know, people believe that there's a pre-trib rapture, and yet there's no biblical instruction to support their belief, and yet they go to church and they hear these things. What else are they believing? Once saved, always saved. Christians can't have demons. It's okay to sin. Because listen to this next part here, Patricia, and then I'll turn it over to you. For it says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, in other words, baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, do you know this, sir? Do you know this, ma'am? That our old man is crucified with him. Did you know that? Your old nature, my old nature, according to this word, Paul's telling us, you got to get there in your faith. You got to see this by the Spirit. Your old man, old nature, is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, or from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's the death of the death, burial, resurrection, baptized into Jesus Christ. See, most churches today are preaching that sin is a light thing, that we all sin. We're all sinners saved by grace. And I agree, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we get into Romans chapter 6, Paul is bringing us to a whole different place of understanding. I mean, the shedding of the blood of Jesus was a great big price to pay for sin. So how can we make sin light? Paul's talking about the deliverance from sin. Patricia.
You know, in the times we're in, I believe all know that our nation and the world is talking about the Third World War, ready to hit and ready to come upon us in a most furious way. And then they'll claim peace and safety. And folks, we're right there. When they do that, you know, Antichrist is in his chamber, ready to rise up and take his position. But how are we to be, was the question that was asked earlier. Are we to be in sin at this time? Or are we to understand that we have to be prepared? The bride prepares herself. How does she prepare herself? Well, I've seen so many Christians in a state of bondage seek freedom through their own understanding. They stumble, dividing the word incorrectly, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in their frustration, they seek counsel and advice from uninformed pastors and Christian counselors. I have witnessed many Christians, brothers and sisters, trying to find answers alone or from uninstructed sources. So many of them have just given up. assuming that God is interested only in the so-called big things, or they have walked away totally disenchanted, disillusioned. This is tragic, considering that the answers are there so clearly in God's word, and that these answers can bring about deliverance when taught properly by a God-appointed and God-ordained teacher of the scriptures. We have been doing that very thing in New Wine Ministry. We have been preparing the people, trying to give them deeper understanding of how this warfare within their soul works, so that they may overcome, that they may be prepared as the bride of Christ at his coming, and go through that which is ready to become one of the violence, one of the most unbelievable destructive work on this earth. And the Bible says that. The Bible clearly states that it'll be worse, much worse than it was in the days of Noah. And that's when the whole world got underwater because of the need to destroy the wickedness that was there. Well, body of Christ, the wickedness is here now, and it's growing in momentum. The things that we are learning are impossible for people to even believe they can do such things. But the devil has them believing it. And if you learn how to overcome this wicked spirit and those spirits that are cohorts of the enemy himself coming against your life, you will rise up into a position that you will be absolutely, definitely thrilled about, because you will see the overcoming work in your life. And it is a God thing. It's no other thing. So I would suggest, look at what my husband ministered earlier. Go into
Romans 6
and see that you no longer have to be in sin. And then get my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which will help you to become the overcoming Christian you should be in these days as a light to this dark world. And then on top of that, with everything said and done, it will bless our radio program to help multitudes of people out there to hear the truth, to overcome for their own lives, and reaching people all over the world. Are you doing it? No, we're doing it. Help us to do it better.
Amen. That's an awesome break-in. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think it's good news that God is telling you that your old nature is dead? Do you think that's good news? I mean, is there something in your psyche, something in your soul, something in you that wants to defend sin in your life? Do you still have a mindset that you're just a no good, dirty dog? Well, listen, if you're a no good, dirty dog, the only way you're a no good, dirty dog is because that's in your old nature. You're a no good, dirty dog. But the Bible says that old nature, that old no good, dirty dog is dead, right? So that should be really good news to some people. Now, verse 8 goes on to say, now, if we be dead with Christ, hallelujah, it's by faith, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing, here's another thing you should know, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Now listen to verse 11. That was just talking about Jesus. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You're not under the law of sin and death anymore. You're under the grace, and the power of grace is to bring you above the power of sin. Grace is not there to allow you to stay in sin. Grace elevates us up and out in the resurrection And this is all the truth of the gospel. Listen, right now, if your faith opens and you receive this word in Romans chapter 6, you're going to become a free man, a free woman. You're going to begin to reckon yourself to be dead indeed to the sin in your life. What is sin? Anything that you know that the word of God is contrary to and you're doing it is sin. Anything. I know people we minister all the time that keep breaking. I mean, you could read the Bible and say, here's the verse, and they will, it's kind of like they're just blinded to it. They're so intent on living out of their own feelings or their emotions or their souls or their understanding that even though the Bible says it right there, they can't let it, they can't yield to it. And that is sin. That is, you know, I acknowledge what the Bible says, but here's how I'm feeling. And the way I'm feeling is more important than what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, no, if you're living by your feelings, you're going to get messed up and you're going to stay messed up. You cannot be in rebellion against the word of God because that's your flesh rebelling against God's word. Patricia.
You know, we must remember that we are not fighting against people, ourselves, people made of flesh and blood, but against demonic spirits, spirit beings, spiritual entities without physical bodies. And folks, they are real. However, alive and existing in the spirit realm, we have to take note of this, be aware of it, not to make it such a thought pattern every day that, oh, demons are around, just to understand the power that you've been given to overcome all things. The spirit will help you to do so. And these things are real and alive, existing in the spirit realm. And to say that there is no power in Satan is not speaking the truth. And I've heard that oftentimes lately, especially. I think he's getting an advantage. How about his power to deceive? To compare Satan's power with that of Jesus' power is, of course, like comparing night and day. Satan pales in comparison to our Lord. But be aware that in our natural strength, we are no match for the deceptive powers of Satan.
Well, amen to that. And Satan, his food, like you wrote in your book, is our sin. Our sin nature is what his food is. Now, we've got some callers calling in right now, and we've got an individual that wants to speak into this conversation. So let's open the telephone lineup. And if you happen to be listening to the radio broadcast and you've dialed 818-369-0326 on Blog Talk Radio, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you in. We have a lot more we want to share about this, but let's go to our call out into our dear friends in South Dakota. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. How are you today? And welcome to the broadcast.
Morning. Yeah, pretty good here.
Thank you.
Earlier in the program, you were talking about the sin and the that is taking over in people's personal life and then also in the world. And so now I got a comment, but I also have a question. In Hebrews, Paul the Apostle wrote that chapter, and he was talking about these weights that so easily beset you in chapter 12. And and then as he went on to speak about this in the Bible, they were going to have an effect on people's mind. And so when you read that in chapter 12, it says, onto Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for consider him, now Jesus endured, according to what Paul wrote, the crucifixion, and then the shame, then despising, and it was God allowed that, but when he came through that, he sat on the throne with God, right on the right hand of God. Okay, then he said in verse 3, it says, don't be wearied and faint in your minds, Paul said. I believe that there must be something here for us to consider. And so when we go through these persecution and test and all that, we have to endure. I realize that. But so even Jesus went through this what he went through on the cross, but God allowed that. So to crucify your flesh, that's my question. And these weights that so easily beset you, do we have to fast?
Well, there are times for fasting, absolutely. And I think that's a great question, and that's a great passage of Scripture, by the way. The whole idea of Hebrews chapter 12 is running the race and looking to Jesus. And that's what every one of us need to be doing, is looking to Him and understanding that God is going to discipline us, to disciple us out of that old lifestyle. We could reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but we're working ourselves out of something. And so fasting is a very powerful tool if you're dealing with a particular sin in your life that you're just having a hard time with. You can absolutely employ the weapon of fasting. And again, you could get prayer, you could go in, and confession. To me, confession is one of the most powerful ways of really dealing with sin in our lives, getting it out in the open, not having any secret sin going on in our hearts, I think is a huge benefit. Patricia, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that'll help you get strength and power in the Holy Spirit. And for what purpose? Well, Ephesians 6:10 reads that, last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. This has to be recognizable. Jesus knew it absolutely. He knew that that power and strength was the Father that has called him to his work. And everything the Father asked him to do, he did. Who's the Father? He's God Almighty. But if we find ourselves in a position where we are trying to live the way Jesus instructed and demonstrated, but are bound and find it impossible to succeed, especially situations and sin ways within our lives that are causing problems for ourselves in maybe relationships or within ourselves, and we know God doesn't want it, there is a way with the authority that we have been granted to become knowledgeable. And as long as the believer walks in the natural and remains in self-inflicted bondage, there will be no match for the cunning ways of Satan. That person, no matter how much they fast, unless they get the divine wisdom through the fast, has no match. And this is why the devil does not want this message to go out to the Christian body at large and be put into practice. He doesn't want us to understand the authority that we have been granted. And if we feel lacking in this area, fasting is the best thing you can do.
Well, amen to that. And I wanted to also mention, for simplicity, and Kathy, that was a great question and a great admonition in Scripture. And for simplicity, to the individual that's listening out there, you know, there's a lot of talk about transgression, sin, iniquity. There's all these things. But let's go back to the very beginning. The end is revealed from the beginning. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and what was man's original sin? What is sin? Simply, God said, don't do this. Don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you do it, you will die. So if you, here's my commandment. Here's what I'm telling you to do. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to suffer the consequences, which is death. Now that sin has been visited upon the entire human race. And you know, when people deny the third and fourth generational bloodline curses, they're like, you know, they're forgetting that the whole reason why everybody's so messed up and born into sin, even after the age of grace that has been opened up to us with the cross, people are still born into sin. It's something that has to be worked out. But what is the sin? It's simply disobeying God. The Bible is the instruction manual. It is as plain as God talking to Adam and Mrs. Adam in the garden saying, now don't eat that tree. That's the Bible. And when you read the Bible and it gives us instruction, our spirit, our desire is to obey the Lord. And when we obey the Lord, what we find out is we begin to prosper. When we do what the Bible says, for example, men, you are looking upon a woman, just looking at her with lust in your heart. In other words, you have desire in your heart. You're sinning. Husbands, if you're not listening and treating your, if you're not treating your wives right, God's not even hearing your prayers. Everybody, anything that is not faith is sin. To him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Awake to righteousness, sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. Your shame, 1 Corinthians 15. So You know, we've opened the door on this Monday morning to get into a dialogue, a discussion about, you know, what avenues the adversary may be entering into your life to bring up sickness, disease, lack, infirmity, you know, things not working out right. Because there is prosperity in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's a prosperous spirit, soul, and body, and it comes through obedience to the word of God. In fact, I'm going to leave with this. In Romans chapter 6, verse 20, for when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Okay? But now, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is clear. You've been made. Now, unfortunately, Patricia, we're down to 5 seconds. We've got to say goodbye and get on to your deliverance roundtable discussion over at Omega Radio. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Sorry, everybody. Say goodbye, Mrs. Xavier.
Goodbye and bless you.
Shalom. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing.